and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our Lady, Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Folks, the next 45 minutes, we'll go through page 8 through 15, okay? Ready? Here we go. Okay, so line 17, 3, 1, 19, 25. While I was saying, have pity on me, come, rise within my poor soul, which is immersed in bitter waters of your privation. Excuse me. I felt my beloved good, my sweet life, move in my interior, extending his arms around my neck. And he said to me, my daughter, my daughter. Now again, this, if you want to pray the prayers of Louisa, get the Echo Book. This is so important. Have pity on me. There are times when life is tough. Rise within my poor soul, which is immersed in the bitter waves of your privation. See, we want to be with Jesus, and sometimes life is tough. And this is what Jesus will say to us. He'll actually be speaking to us through the reason. And I looked at him, and he came out from the surface of light. And as Jesus extended his arms, the light extended after him. However, that light was not completely full. One could see a void within that same light. But in spite of this, there was no darkness in that sort of void. It just seemed like more threads of light were needed in order to fill that void. And to render that light more intense, stronger, and brighter, at the sight of Jesus, I felt like rising again from death to life. See, the one thing God is going to show us is to rise from death to life. In every instant, you're going to experience life in a unique way from once you start reading the divine will. Life can never be the same. And that's the thing that's so beautiful about these writings. Jesus becomes more alive. Why? He is the Word of God. And these words of Jesus are divine lives, he says. And as we read that, Jesus makes himself known. Jesus shows us who he is. The wonderful thing about these writings is the more that you read, the more new they become. He will show us things that we've never seen before in these writings. He will speak to us in ways never before heard by us as we read. And why? Because these words are divine lives that are hinted in them. And every time we read them, we will hear something new. We will see something more beautiful. There's nothing like the Book of Heaven. I mean, I've read the lives of the saints. I love the saints. St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, great mystics of the church. But they don't come close to the Book of Heaven. And it's not because they're bad. It's because they're about doing the will of God. The Book of Heaven is about living in the will of God. And again, as he says right here, the light becomes more intense, stronger, brighter. Why? Because at the sight of Jesus, the sound of Jesus, the smell of Jesus, the taste of Jesus, I feel like rising again from death to life. It's abundant life that he's given. And that's what he really wants us to begin to experience. Line 17, 5, 10, 25. Yes. Your will exists. This tight bond of our throne is tightly bound to our throne. Excuse me. And this is why your soul, like a little child reborn in our divine will, is drawn before the supreme majesty. And because as you, Louisa, rise up toward us, your human will, which is already ours, precedes you, and you feel our divine will attracting you like a powerful magnet. And instead of looking at your human will, you interest yourself only in bringing onto our divine lap everything you did and our holy divine will as the greatest homage which befits us triune God and as the return of the most pleasing to us.
Wow.
I think the battery died.
Battery's dead.
Come.
Let's
see if it works.
Oh, it works.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
So, all right. So, think about this. This fiat is what God is looking for. God wants us like a little child reborn. See, you know, you hear about the Protestants saying about being reborn. I'm reborn. No, it's more than that. Reborn at each instant. He says, is drawn before the Supreme Majesty. Because as you rise up towards us, your will, he says, which is already ours, you feel our divine will attracting you like a powerful magnet. And instead of looking at your human will, you interest yourself only in bringing onto our divine life everything you did in our divine will as the greatest homage which befits us triune God as the return of the most, that is most pleasing to us triune God. So God breathes into Louisa, Louisa breathes back to God, God. See, Jesus says, I created you, why? So that you could be like me, image and likeness. So when God says, raise this, I love you, Luis can take that I love you as her own and give back to God what is God's. So it's to bring back to God, I love you, divine you. And it's God doing it. You see what God is doing? He breathed into dust his image and likeness. Why? So this image and likeness can become like him. Because there were no other gods around. God is so filled with love that he breathed into dirt his image and likeness. His image and likeness, Adam, came out of that dirt. And what does Adam do? He turns back to God and says, I love you, my Father, my God, my all. That's what we're doing. We have used our human will for so long that Jesus taught us how to do the will of God for the saints. And now he's saying, I want you to live in the divine will as I originally planned mankind. Volume 17, 6:29-25. As soon as I, Jesus, died, my death sealed all my works, my words, my pains, the sacraments, the fruits of my death, confirmed all that I did, and placed my works, my pains, my words, and sacraments which I instituted as well as the continuation of their life until, listen to this, the consummation of the centuries. The sacraments until the consummation of the centuries. In the act of rising again to life, so my death put all my works in motion and made them rise again to perennial life. All this was right, since my holy humanity continued the eternal word and a divine will which had no beginning, no end, and which is not subject to perish. For of anything it did, nothing was to perish, not even one word, rather everything was to have continuation until the end of the centuries, in order to pass into heaven to beautify all the blessed eternally. The same, listen to this, this is so great. The same shall happen with you, Louisa. My divine will, which lives in you, my divine will, which speaks to you, makes you work and suffer in the divine will, and shall let nothing perish, not even one word, of the so many truths which I, Jesus, have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will. Rather, it shall put everything in motion. It shall make everything rise again. Your death shall be the confirmation of all that I have said to you. And since the living in my divine will is such that everything a soul does, suffers, and prays and says contains the acts of the divine will, all this shall not be subject to perish, but shall remain in the world like many lives, and all of them in the act of giving life to the creatures. So everything that Luisa has done. See, this is why I can't wait till the theologians grab this gift and start telling us what it's all about. It's so filled with truths. It's so filled with lives that Jesus has breathed into Luisa. And Luisa breathes into us. She's the channel through which we love Luisa. Why? Because Jesus and Mary are there. We don't love Luisa for Luisa. We love Luisa because Jesus' life is there. Mary's life is there. This is the way to Jesus and Mary. Remember St. Louis de Montfort? To Jesus through Mary. Now Jesus is saying to the new Adam and to the new Eve, Jesus and Mary, is through Luisa, the newborn. So God is giving us more. St. Louis de Montfort gave us the greatest way to get to Jesus is through Mary. Now, Jesus is giving us the greatest way to the new Adam and to the new Eve, through Luisa. See, everything that she's done is going to last for all eternity. It's the new era that's begun. And we, think about it, we are the first to have these writings. How astonishing is this? Therefore, your death shall tell the veils that cover all the truths which I, God, spoke to you, and they shall rise again like many suns, such as to cast away all the doubts, all the difficulties with which they seem to be covered during your life. Therefore, as long as you live in this low world, you shall see little or nothing in others. And all the great good which my holy divine will wants to do through you, Luisa, you won't see anything. But after your death, everything shall have its full effects. She died 71 years ago. The full effects are beginning in us. I remember in the 80s, all we had was sheets of paper. In the 70s, we had nothing. 80s, we had sheets of paper, mimeograph sheets. Remember how they smelled? That was that mimeograph smell. That's all we had. We had notebooks. Until 1996, when the volumes came out. And still we didn't have any books. We had a few. Until 2005, when everything was translated into English, is when we first had everything. And here it is, 13 years later, we are the first to have this. Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. He didn't give this book to the saints. He didn't want them to have it. How could God not want them to have it? Just like the way Moses didn't have baptism. Moses didn't receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity. He didn't want them to have it. It wasn't time. Now is the time. And God is expecting a great deal from us. After your death, Luisa, everything shall have its full effects. My daughter, in the divine world, there are no nights, there is no sleep, there is no time, there is no space. It is always full of daylight, always full vigil. There is no time to sleep because there is so much to do, to take and to be happy in the divine will. That's our life. So you must learn to live in the long day of my divine will. That's what Jesus is saying to us. You have to learn to live in the long day of our divine will as if you were in heaven. There's no more time for worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. It's to live in the light. You must learn to live the long day of my divine will so that my divine will may have its life of continuous acts within you. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will. However, you shall find the most beautiful rest because my divine will shall make you rise more and more into your God. That's what he's doing with us. More and more. And shall allow you to comprehend God more. This is what this day is. This day, this few hours that we're together, God is saying, I want you to comprehend me more. How? By reading the writings. Listening to the writings. Listening to Jesus. The more you comprehend God, the more your soul shall be enlarged in order to receive that eternal rest with all divine happiness and divine joys which the divine rest contains. Oh, what a beautiful rest this shall be for you, a rest which can be found only in my most holy divine will. In the meantime, my sweet Jesus called many people which clung to his feet. This is us. And Jesus said to them, rise up to my sacred heart, and I shall show you the portents to which my divine will is done in this soul, Luisa Picaretta. God loves her. He has given her this gift. I've heard a lot of people say, well, the divine will is mine. No. The divine will is Luisa's. And Jesus says, what does he say? He doesn't say, rise up to my sacred heart and I'll show you the portents of my divine will is given to you. No. He says, to this soul, Luisa Picaretta. God loves her. He says in 9:12, he says, I, as God, cannot live without you, Luisa. If Jesus says that, what do we say? Who is this Luisa Picaretta? Now Jesus is going to show us in his sacred heart the portents of his divine will that he, the Lord God Almighty, has done in this little soul of Luisa. This is what God is asking of us. He wants to give us what he gave to Luisa, but it's her gift. It's hers. Hers. And Jesus is saying to us, do you want this? I want to see in you the DNA of Luisa. I want to see in you the love of Luisa, the spiritual DNA. I want to see in you, Luisa, in you, Luisa's desire for Jesus. We're nothing. We're nothing. He said, what does Jesus say here? I want to show you what I've done in this beautiful soul, Luisa Picaretta. Vine 18:10-25. By repeating those acts, she formed water with which to water that seed in the earth of her heart. And the more often she repeats them, the more she waters that seed. And the plant grows beautiful and green in such a way that it quickly produces the fruits of that seed. On the other hand, if she is slow in repeating, many times the seed remains suffocated. And if it comes out at all, it grows thin and never gives fruit. Poor seed, without water in order to grow. My son does not rise over that seed to give it fecundity, maturity, and a beautiful color or to its fruits, because it is not fecund. On the other hand, by always repeating those same acts, this is our rounds. When we pray the rounds, always repeating our acts, the soul contains much water with which to water that seed. And my son rises over that seed every time it sees it being watered and delights so much, knowing that it has much strength in order to grow, that it makes its branches reach up to me, and in seeing its many fruits, I, God, pick them with pleasure, and I, God, rest under its shadow. See, what's happening is Jesus is showing us that as we do our rounds, as we pray, as we repeat every day the prevenient act in the morning, our actual acts throughout the door, come divine will. We're calling heaven to earth. Come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come walk in my walking. It's the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, the more you do this, the happier God is. Vine 18:11-25. So that the Redeemer might have his field of action upon earth, and whoever wanted to might use those acts as coins with which to purchase heaven for himself, the imprint of innocence, the imprint of sanctity, and of the divine will was needed. Okay, so look what God is saying. For heaven to come to earth, we have to go back to innocence, holy innocence. We have to go back to this holy sanctity. Okay? This is the life of Jesus. Our Lady of America says she's going to bring, the children of America will bring purity to the earth. What is that purity? It is the pure life of Jesus. It is the pure life of man. What's coming to the earth is a new beginning for mankind. Our Lady wants to use the United States to bring this about. This is even at the opening of the cause in 1994, Archbishop Cassati said to us, "I don't know why you Americans are here. You love Louisa more than we do." It was, well, half the church was filled with Americans. America is very special to God. And it's being purged today. This is a great day. Tomorrow is going to be a great day too. Near 11:11 is tomorrow. Remember that. It's going to be a great day. So God is saying to us, He wants innocence. He wants sanctity that thy will. The imprint of the operating of the Word, Jesus Himself, was needed in order to make mankind rise again to heaven. And if that of the Virgin Mary was enough to make me, Jesus, descend into the midst of creatures in order to make mankind rise, my divine operating was needed. And so this is why I, God, embraced all those acts that I made them my own, and I made up for everyone. I accomplished everything. And for all, I placed the divine imprint of all the good acts from the first man to the last man who was to come upon earth. So Jesus is saying, because of what He did and what Mary did, the two are always together. Everything was ready for Louisa. Everything was ready. But He waited 2,000 years to bring Louisa here. Why? As Jesus said when He was born, it was the fullness of time. The sacred scripture says it was the fullness of time. This now is the fullness of time. Again, it's not by chance that we've seen all the things in the heavens. And we're going to see more things in the heavens. But great things are right around the corner. God wants us to be aware of the time we're living in. And again, to understand this time we're living in, He gives us the sign. Louisa. Who is Louisa? She has the Book of Heaven. What does Jesus call the Book of Heaven? He calls it the gospel because of the testament of love, the testament of the kingdom, and then He calls it what He said in Matthew 24, the gospel of the kingdom. And what does He say in Matthew 24? In Matthew 24, 12, He says this, until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world. That's the Book of Heaven. Again, it's a little secret, but God loves secrets. You know why He loves secrets? Look at Bethlehem. No priest showed up. A couple shepherds and a few wise men showed up. You look at Golgotha, the greatest thing on earth, five people. You look at His resurrection, nobody was there. A couple angels. You look at His ascension, there's about 120 there. What God loves, He keeps secret. The greatest secret in the church is Jesus Christ is in every Catholic church. That flame, that candle that's lit, the sanctuary lamp, the churches are empty. Another secret, the scapular, the clothing of heaven, few wear it. The rosary, the greatest thing next to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, few pray it. God loves secrets. He loves to keep things hidden. Why? Those that knock, it'll be open to them. Those that search will find it. That's what God is waiting for you. He's given us the Book of Heaven. And He's saying, this is, you're going to be spiritualized and demonized as you read. Do you want it? Don't say no. Look what God's doing. He loves us very, very much. He says very clearly, it's a divine operating, a divine imprint is coming. Volume 18, 11, 22, 25, did I start that? Okay, This is what the soul receives by living in my divine will. This is what the soul receives. This is what God is telling us. She receives the divine will as her own. She possesses the divine will. She feels its celestial aura, its life of heaven, the likeness of the one who created her. And she lives in my divine will. She feels studded with the reflections of her God. That's what happened. That line right there is so true. As you read this, nothing is meaningful on earth anymore. Why? What the soul receives is she receives it as her own. It becomes ours. She possesses it. Ours. She feels the celestial aura. She feels the life of heaven. She recognizes the likeness of the God who created. She lives in my divine will. She feels studded with the reflections of God. Do you see why the little children of Holy Divine Will are happy? God is there. He's not 1,000,000,000 miles away. He's within us. We hear him. We smell him. We taste him. We touch him. We see him. In everything she feels, the power of that fiat, which gives life to all things. And in the sea of good, which she possesses, she says, how happy I am. The will of God is mine. I possess it, and I love it. Heaven is mine. I possess it. I love it. Therefore, all the acts done in my divine will diffuse over all, and all take part in them. See, when the daybreak, you are saying, may my mind rise in the supreme will, in order to cover all the intelligences of all souls, past, present, and future, with your will, so that everyone may rise in it. And in the name of everyone, past, present, and future, I give to you, Lord Jesus, the adoration, the love, the submission of all created intelligences. And while you were saying this, a celestial dew poured upon all creatures, covering them, to bring the requital of your act to everyone, past, present, and future. See how the face of the earth is being changed? Oh, how beautiful it was to see all creatures covered with the celestial dew, with my divine will formed and symbolized by the night dew which can be found in the morning over all the plants, to embellish them, to fundicate them, and to prevent those which are about to wither from drying up. With its celestial touch, it seemed to place a touch of life in order to make them vegetate. And how enchanting is the dew that at daybreak, but much more enchanting, much more beautiful, is the dew of the acts which the soul forms in my most holy divine will. It's bringing life to everyone. It's bringing light to everyone. It's bringing love to everyone. You have to understand, this is of God. It's not human. It's divine. And God is saying to us, do you want to bring life to the world? Do you want to bring light to the world? Do you want to bring love to the world? And he says, live in my divine will. 5:18, 12:20, 25. Only Louisa, the one who lives in my divine will, rises to the state of Adam innocent before falling into sin. You see what's here? This is here? This is the preternatural life. Only Louisa, who lives in my divine will, rises to the state Adam had before falling. In fact, there is a great distance between those who do my will, that's the saints, and those who possess the divine will, that's Louisa. The same distance which passes between Adam innocent and Adam after sin. And I, Jesus, in coming upon the earth, was to act as God. I was to complete the work of Adam in everything. I was to raise Adam to the first point of his origin, giving Adam the possession of my will. And even though many make use of my coming as a remedy for their salvation, and therefore take my will as medicine, as strength, as an antidote in order not to go to hell, I, God, wait still that the souls may arise who take it as life by making it known, that they may take possession of it. In this way, I, God, shall complete the work of my coming upon earth, and the divine graft formed anew with the creature shall have fruit. This graft is what Jesus has done, and now this new abundant fruit, if you want to say, is what Jesus has given to a human so he can give it to everyone. Then shall my tears turn into celestial and divine smiles for me and for them. That's what's coming. Volume 18, 1:24-26, my daughter Lily. In my divine will, there is neither deaths nor abortions, and the one who lives in the divine will contains as life the life of my divine will. And makes her rise again in every instant. See, it's not just being born again. It's being born again and again and again and again. It's never ending. It's always new. It's always more beautiful. To new life, to new beauty, to new grace, to new happiness, delighting in preserving the soul always little within itself so as to have her great with itself. Little but strong, little but beautiful, just newly born, so that she might have nothing human but everything divine. Nothing human but everything divine. What's the expression? Well, I'm only human. That's a lie. That's a lie. We are called to the divine. This is, again, like I said, the last time the church taught about divinization was 500 years ago. And the writings are so magnificent. Call to be children of God from Ignatius Press. Read that, study that. It'll show you we are called to be divine. Divinized. Read 2 Peter. He says that God wants us to share in his divinity. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. God wants us to share in his divinity. See what's coming. It's not human. It's divine. Do you see what God's getting us ready for? See, a lot of people, when they're at their point of death, I've never anticipated. You haven't never been to hell. A lot of people at the point of death never thought of the divine. Divine. I mean, when we receive Holy Communion, we receive the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. The angels are kneeling in adoration. We receive Jesus. He enters the holy of holies of our soul. We cannot be the same anymore. If we are the same, something's wrong. Jesus is waiting for us. He says, look what he says, newly born, this is what I want, little but strong, little but beautiful, newly born, so that you might have nothing human, but only divine. God's got great plans. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. By 19, 3, 9, 26. Now you must know, this is a command from Jesus Christ, you must know this, that our love, our divine love, wants to play this risky game with you, Louisa, so that you, united with Our Lady, the Celestial Mama, may let us, Triune God, win the game by allowing us, Triune God, to make up for the failure with which the first man, Adam, caused us. Triune God. So that our divine will, restored in its victories, may place its goods in the field on earth once again, with which so much love it wants to give back to souls. And just as though the Holy Virgin Mary, because I had made up in my game, I made the Son of Redemption rise in order to save lost humanity, in the same way, through you, Louisa, I, God, shall make the Son of my divine will rise again, that it may follow its course in the midst of souls. That's what Jesus is doing. What Our Lady did for redemption, Jesus says, you, Louisa, are going to bring about in sanctification. This was Adam's job. It wasn't Jesus' job. It wasn't Mary's job. It was Adam's job to give his children sanctification. And this is what is so spectacular about this gift. It's been given back to a human. Louisa, who is going to bring us to sanctification. Not just being good and holy and saintly, like the saints, which are great, but more than that, to share in divinity, to divinize us. That's what sanctification is. God divinizing his children. The sanctity isn't the sanctity of the saints. It's the sanctity of sanctities. It's divine sanctity. That's what God is calling us to. This is astonishing what God is doing. Vine 19:4-26. My daughter, everything I do in the soul, oh, how it surpasses all that I, God, did in creation. See what Jesus is saying? When he said, fiat lux, let there be light, and everything began, he says, what I do in the soul is greater than all of creation. Do you see each knowledge of my perfections, which I, God, manifested, each truth, which pertains to the divinity, is a new heaven that I, God, extend within the soul who reads the book of heaven. That's what he's saying. And as the soul rises in these truths, the soul has known in order to resemble the Creator, it is new songs that I come to form within the space of these heavens in the soul. Each grace that I pour out, and each time I, God, renew her union with me, our oceans, our seas that are laid in the soul, and her love and her correspondence from the sweet murmurings of these oceans, these seas, as well as the mighty waves which rise up to heaven and comes to unload themselves at the foot of the divine throne of God. See, these are oceans within us. You're going to see within you universes. Do you see, God made the universe for man, but he made the human will for God. That's where God dwells. It's infinite. He wants to fill this infinity within each one of us with universes never before seen. Don't limit God. He wants to fill us to the brim. He loves us so much. As the soul practices her virtues, since the body too contributes to the exercise of them, the body can be called the little field or the earth of the soul, over which I, God, lay the most beautiful flowers, the beautiful meadows, in which I, God, delight in creating ever new flowers, ever new plants, and ever new fruits never before seen. Louisa says, after this, I was thinking about the resurrection of our Lord. When coming back, Jesus added, my daughter, my resurrection completed, sealed, returned to me all honors. It called life to all my works, and I did that, which I did in the course of my life on earth, and formed the seed of the resurrection of the souls, even of the bodies, of the universal judgment. So without my resurrection, my redemption would have been incomplete, and my most beautiful works would have been buried. The same for the soul. If the soul does not rise up again completely in my most holy divine will, all of her works remain incomplete. And if coldness for divine things creeps into her, if passions oppress her and vices tyrannize her, these shall form the tomb in which to bury her. Because since the life of my most holy divine will is missing, the one who makes the divine fire rise again shall be missing. One who, with one blow, can kill all the passions and make all the virtues rise again shall be missing. My holy divine will is more than sun, which shall eclipse everything, but decay everything, convert everything into divine light. and forms the complete resurrection of the soul in God. This is what God wants to give to us. This is what God wants to give to us. Complete resurrection in God. Volume 19, 4, 9-26. My daughter, why does the sun contain the seed of fecundity and the seed of substance of all colors? Because light is greater than the goods it contains. Therefore, it keeps them all eclipsed within itself. One cannot give something if he does not possess it. In the same way, the sun would not be able to give fecundity or sweetness to fruits or colors to flowers, or could not work so many wonders on earth as to transform it from an abyss of darkness into the abyss of light, if it did not contain within itself all the effects it produces. The sun is the symbol of my most holy divine will. And as the sun rises of my divine will over the soul, it vivifies her, it bejewels her with divine graces. It gives her the most beautiful shades of divine colors. It transforms her in God. We are going to be like God. That's what divinization is all about. It does this all at once, as though it is enough to let it rise for it to operate wonderful things. By giving, my divine will loses nothing. Just as the sun loses nothing by doing so much good to the earth. On the contrary, it remains glorified in the work of the creature. Our divine being is always in perfect balance. It neither increases nor can it decrease. But do you know how this happens? Imagine a sea full to the brim with winds that invests its surface and forms the waves which overflow outside of the sea. In swelling, the sea has lost nothing. And just as the waters have overflowed outside, so they immediately risen, they appear at the same level as before. The same happens between the soul and God. The soul can be called the little wind which forms the waves in the divine sea in such a way that the soul can take much water as she wants. But our sea shall remain always at its level because our nature is not subject to undergo mutations. Therefore, the more you take, the more delight you give me, and the more glorified I shall be in you. That's what God wants. That's what he's asking. Take as much as you want. It gives God glory and glorifies us. He wants us to share in his divinity. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, nothing can change. Volume 19, 5, 6, 26, therefore, the one who lives in our divine will, even if she came as last, comes always before everything. So it is not the era in which the soul comes out to the light of time that shall be considered, but whether the life of my divine will has been there as the center of life. That's what Jesus wants. The divine will is the center of our life, reigning and dominating over all our acts, just as it reigns and dominates in the womb of the divinity. These shall be the first, that's us, hopefully. Their acts done under the divine will shall rise above all the acts of all the other saints, and all shall remain behind. Therefore, these souls in the most holy divine will shall be our crown. That's what God has planned. We'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we'll pray the yellow sheet. If you have it, prayer of consecration to the Holy Divine Will, and if we can kneel, it would be great. And I'll give you a blessing with a relic of the true cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, prostrate before your light, I, the littlest of all creatures, humble, adorable will, the little group of the first children of your supreme fiat, prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech you and implore your endless light, that it may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you, in such a way that I may do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life. I will banish it forever and perform the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it, I shall always be happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the Sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take me by the hand and enclose me in the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my tender mother. You will guard your child, will teach me to live and maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the divine will. You will teach me the divine will, and I will be attentive and listening to you. You will lay your blue mantle over me so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate into the sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me, deforming me in the life of the supreme will. St. Joseph, you will be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of the will of God. Guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial court, come to my help, but I promise you to live always in the divine will. Amen. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live with God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. And we'll clean up, and we got some holy water back there. If anybody wants any, it's yours.